All right, it is Life on the Outside. Welcome to another installment of the Harry Thomas Show. Today is June 25th, 2012. I'm your host, Harry Thomas. The websites are located at harrythomas.podomatic.com, youtube.com/harrythomasinfo, twitter.com/harrythomas, and you can find me over at the social network for InfoWarriors at 12160.info. And if you have any questions or input about the show, leave me a message over there at 12160.info, because we are fighting global government. We are fighting the New World Order. And this show is it's just free information. That's what I believe in. Free information. There's no ads. I've got no products to sell. I'm just a regular guy that wants to be free. I want government out of my life. I just want to live a happy, normal, productive life, free of the New World Order. And I upload this show up at podomatic.com. There's a download link. I put it in a lower bit rate. Have at it. Download it. There's so much bandwidth there. A month's worth. Have at it. Upload it. Stream it. Broadcast it. Send it out to your friends. Do whatever you want with it. You have my total permission, because we are going to stop these madmen. And if you're new to this information, what is the New World Order? We're going to cover that on this show. I'm going to cover stuff about the Earth Conference that just happened in Rio, Bilderberg 2012, what happened with the Ron Paul campaign. As some of you know, listeners of this show, I've been a longtime supporter of Ron Paul. I'm going to check in on that, give you my thoughts on that. We're going to talk about what's happening in the future, what's coming down the pipe as far as the New World Order is concerned. You know, I at the twitter.com/HarryThomas, I'm constantly updating news articles and news stuff that is related to the New World Order agenda. Once you start understanding what the New World Order is, what their agenda is for global governments, for a global dictatorship, a scientific dictatorship, then you start to see it unfold, because they have it so compartmentalized that it's like pieces of the puzzle. If you're just focusing on one arm of control or one piece of the puzzle, you don't get the full picture. You have to take the pieces of the puzzle together to see what the overall picture is. And the overall picture is nothing but death, destruction, suffering, and total dehumanization of mankind. The ultimate goal is 80 to 90% population reduction. We're going to be talking about that coming up, and all the ways that they do that. They have their soft kill, they have their hard kill. You got your soft kill, aspartame, mercury in the vaccines, chemtrails that they're spraying in the air all over the world. And then you've got your hard kill, where you're talking about wars, you're talking about torture, you're talking about genocide. Yeah, genocide. The UN has done this, you know. And if this stuff sounds outrageous to you, I beg of you to do some research for yourself. So we're going to start out, you know, briefly, what is the New World Order? Well, a lot of people say, oh, there's no such thing as a New World Order. But there's plenty of evidence to the contrary. In fact, there's been plenty of world leaders that have come right out and talked about the New World Order. I'm not even going to get into all that today. In 1991, George Bush Sr. called for a New World Order. Do a search for it. You'll find the clip on YouTube and stuff. Bill Clinton referred to that, and he's talked about a New World Order. Listen to this.
After 1989, President Bush kept said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order.
You know, and earlier in that clip, he talked about a worldview, how Democrats and Republicans alike had a worldview. He talked about, Harry Truman, all of them, had a worldview. That worldview was the new world order, which is really the old world order. And these same families, blue bloods, so to speak, they have their puppets. Bush and Clinton and Obama, Romney, these guys are all puppets. Okay, they put their front men out there. You know, that's their PR outlet, their public relations, so to speak. And that's their front men. You know, and another front man who is a major player in the New World Order is Henry Kissinger. And he's on both sides of the tank, but he doesn't care. He's right out in the open. He thinks that the New World Order is such a great idea that it should just be discussed openly. You know, and a lot of his cohorts don't agree with him on that, but he is definitely a major player. And he was being interviewed, and he came right out and he said, you know, the reception of Obama coming in as the newly elected president is so good that he believes that he could bring in, he's the perfect person to bring in a new world order. Listen to this.
But he can give a new impetus to American foreign policy, partly because the reception of him is so extraordinary around the world. I think his task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period when really a new world order can be created. It's a great opportunity. It isn't just a crisis.
You know, and Obama himself has talked about, and I couldn't find the clip. I was looking for it. You know, I've got so many CDs and DVDs and all this information, I couldn't find it in my archives anywhere, but Obama talked about a world order. He didn't say new world order. He talked about what we need is a world order. But I did find this clip where he was talking about a global partnership and all this other stuff. Listen to this.
This is Sky News with Paula Middlehurst.
Well, there have been extraordinary scenes in Berlin tonight as thousands of people gathered to hear Barack Obama deliver key foreign policy speech on his current European tour. The Democratic presidential hopeful laid out his vision for America's place in a new world order, saying he was speaking as a proud citizen of the United States and a fellow citizen of the world. Well, Senator Obama's tackled America's place in the world at several points in his speech, acknowledging recent splits between the U.S. and the rest of the international community.
In Europe, the view that America is part of what has gone wrong in our world, rather than a force to help us make it right, has become all too common. Yes, there have been differences between America and Europe. No doubt there will be differences in the future. But the burdens of global citizenship continue to bind us together. A change of leadership in Washington will not lift this burden. In this new century, Americans and Europeans alike will be required to do more, not less. Partnership and cooperation among nations is not a choice. It is the only way, the one way, to protect our common security and advance our common humanity.
You know, this is totally sick. He just talked about a global citizenship. Okay, and his citizenship is in disarray as it is. I mean, you got Arizona suing Hawaii. You've got falsified documents as far as birth certificates go and stuff. I mean, we don't even really know who this guy is. First they say his name wasn't Barry Sotero. Now they saying it is Barry Sotero. His father was a Kenyan. Now it doesn't look like his father's a Kenyan at all. It looks like his father is one of the most major players in the communist Marxist movement. And they're covering all that up. you know, it's all two sides of the same coin. It doesn't matter if it's left, right. I mean, that's how they separate us. You divide and conquer. And that's what they've been doing, is they've been dividing the people and conquer. You pick your side, I pick my side. You know, it's like professional sports. And you got to back your team no matter what. Win or lose, you're going to back your team. When at the end of the day, they're both being paid by the same corporate oligarchs, the same interests, the same totalitarians that are running this system. The same international bankers. It doesn't matter if you're Catholic or Protestant, if you're Jewish or Christian or Muslim or any of it. They own it all. They have their hands in every pot. Okay? You know, and then you get people saying, oh, well, if you don't talk about the Zionists enough, so you must be, an agent of this. Or you don't talk about the Vatican enough, so you must be an agent of this. You know, everybody wants you to talk about their issue. You know, when it's, they're all the problem, okay? If you're going to kill the beast, you got to go for the throat. You got to know your enemy. Okay, you can't just cut off one arm of control. You know, they're coming at us with religion, media, secret societies, politics, academia. They've got their hands in everything. Like I said, we're talking about a global web here. You got to put the pieces of the puzzle together. Know your enemy. You can't just cut off one limb, one arm of control. We have to go for the belly of the beast. We have to go for the throat. I mean, humanity is at stake here. These people are cold-hearted murderers. You know, they're practicing Luciferianism, no matter what they're saying. And they gather a lot of these big echelons at the Bilderberg meeting. And Bilderberg first started meeting, I believe it was 1953. It was in the early 50s. They held their first conference. They met again this year in Chantilly, Virginia. Heads of state, corporations, bankers, all these people that are running the show, and they come in these blackened limousines, hiding their faces. They want to meet in secret. It wasn't up until the Patriot Movement, the Freedom Movement, the truth movement, whatever you want to call it, the info war that's been happening, exposing these people, shedding light on these cockroaches, that we've had the Washington Times and we've had other major publications throughout the world admit that they exist. And then they admit they exist, but they say, oh, well, you know, yeah, they're setting up world government. You know, it's not that big of a deal. It's good for you. It's good for you. And they put a little sugar on it. Because it tastes bitter at first. And that's what the media does, because they own all the media. You know? Washington Post said, you know, they thanked them for keeping it quiet. Because if they put light on it, they wouldn't have been able to get away with it for 30 years. All the plans. And, you know, and there's been people like Jim Tucker and other patriotic people. You know, people not even from this country. This is a worldwide movement. You know, and I live in the United States. I live in central New York, right in the Empire State. We're talking about the home of the United Nations. We're talking about a major, major home of the New World Order. One of their major arms is right here in New York City. You know, and you've got their war machine running in Washington, and you've got their media center out in Hollywood, California. Their mind control. You know, and I know I'm jumping all over the place. I'm really fired up because I haven't done a show in quite some time. I've been having some health problems. Been having all kinds of, you know, this economy and all, it's hard to even keep your head above water. let alone trying to keep up with all this stuff fighting the New World Order. And I'll tell you what, there's a guy out there in Austin, Texas, Alex Jones. I have no idea how the guy can immerse himself in this kind of information for 12 hours a day and not go insane. You know, and a lot of people are like, well, he's this and he's that. He must be a plant. I don't know if he is or not. I have no idea. But I do know that every time that I've investigated information that he's put out, it's helped piece together the global web. So if he's leaving out some pieces of the puzzle on purpose, fine. But the pieces that are being exposed are helping me put together information that I need to know my enemy. You know, him, and there's others too. The David Icke, and he's got some views that I believe are pretty far-fetched stuff, and I have read his books, The Biggest Secret, and I'll tell you what, very compelling information. I'm not ready to hop on board with that, although it would explain a lot. I mean, if we were being controlled by another dimension, by some kind of shape-shifting aliens, I'll tell you what, that would make a lot more sense than what the freaking New World Order is doing to us. By spraying these chemtrails and everything else, man, because I'll tell you what, it looks like they're trying to change our environment into something more suitable for someone besides humans. And we're going to get into this when I talk about what's going on in the future here. I mean, this is horrible. This, you know, there's no denying that there's a new world order. I mean, and so they get together in Bilderberg, and it looks like they picked the next president, because usually they pick who's going to be in president. You know, these voting things are all a sham, especially on the national level. You might be able to elect people on a local level, but on the national level, it's pretty much bought and paid for. The media runs with it. You know, they decide who they're going to give coverage to, and the word that I got through insiders of Bilderberg and people who've been following this is that Obama's damaged goods. And what I'm predicting is there's going to be a major scandal, probably about who his father is or where he was born. It's going to come out closer to the election. The media already is turning favorably toward Romney, Mitt Romney, who is another globalist pig. He's another tool for them. A minion for the New World Order, and apparently he was at Bilderberg. So them kind of signs, the fact that Charlie Skelton seen him and got information from four sources that he was in Bilderberg. Charlie Skelton is a reporter from London, one of the major outlets there in London. Oh, hell, I can't think of the name of it. The London Guardian, I believe. Well, his sources said that they've seen Romney in there. They've seen Bill Gates in there. They've seen, you know, Kissinger was seen, of course, in there. And a whole bunch of other ones. They put out this list, and then other people show up. So if that's the fact, and that with the media turning in favor of Romney now, trying to shed, like, a favorable light with Romney, and we're going to see this build up in the next few months up to this election, then it looks like Romney is going to be the next president of the United States. I mean, this is horrible. And they're playing something off, and I'm starting to get a taste of something. And I'm going to talk about this in a minute. I'm going to talk about this in a minute coming up. I want to play this. Someone did a documentary about the protests in Chantilly, West Virginia. Or not West Virginia, but Virginia. And about Bilderberg. Check it out. Here's a trailer of that documentary.
Chantilly, Virginia, site of the 2012 Bilderberg group meeting. What is it that brings hundreds of protesters out to this secluded site?
Well, the people that are part of the Bilderberg group, which is, you know, like the elite 0.01% of the population.
There's a group inside that is meeting trying to organize what is known as the New World Order.
It's pretty much heads of state, different parts of the world, bankers.
They're trying to develop a global government, global currency, and a global bank.
So everyone's like the 1%, you know, but these are like the 0.1%. You know, these people are the ones who own the 1%.
We're watching. Watching everything you're doing.
Something's going on, even if we don't know what exactly is. Something's going on and it needs to be talked about.
However, the mainstream media won't be talking about it.
The story has kind of got away from the mainstream press over the years. It's been very well suppressed by Bilderberg, their existence.
I mean, if you look, they're coming in, they're hiding their faces in newspaper, you see them leaning down, hiding. These people don't want to be seen.
So they're the ones that are looking for the secrecy. The group that is out here is actually looking for transparency.
The idea that you wouldn't know about something like Bilderberg is kind of anathema to you. You'd think, well, I know stuff. I'm a well-read guy, I'm up to speed.
I think people are scared. You know, it's definitely an odd place to be in.
You have to be careful when you're giving this message so you don't give too much at one time.
And be as clear and lucid about it, because they want us to appear crazy. I'm proud to say I already have a Secret Service file.
This is one of the problems in speaking about Bilderberg, is there are so many minds that you can tread on.
It's crying shame. I'd like to see things change here.
You slowly see the people are waking up just by the sheer numbers here, which is awesome.
So we're here to flip the world back. We're here to take it back.
I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. I'm a teacher. I educate the young people of the country, and I just think it's important that if I'm going to be educating these people, then I'm aware of what's going on.
Every movement has a hero, and this one is no different. Meet Alex Jones.
The answer to 1984 is 1776!
Jones hosts a popular radio program out of Austin, Texas, and founded InfoWars.com.
New World Order film.
Yeah, you turn it up.
The people have been watching our video feeds the last few days, and they know you're the enemy.
So everybody who can, at least for the next 30 minutes, we ought to go down there and bullhorn them.
I got into history when I was about 5, 6, 7 years old, because there was only cartoons on Saturday morning. So I started about the time I was about 8 or 9 reading history books. Not that the history was even accurate in there. The point is it got me into it. And then I just kind of knew how the world worked because I'd read so many history books. History book is conspiracy, manipulation, corrupt groups, power. That's how history's always been. You guys doing a comedy documentary?
Whether you agree or disagree, it's impossible to deny the sincerity of these protesters.
I'm here mainly for my kids.
Oh, all the kids, grandchildren, all that, yeah.
Not just your family and your friends, but everyone.
I'm here for my family.
Yeah!
And I'm here for everybody else's family, because we all hang together, we hang separate.
I would change the military and war, and I'd use all that money to feed people. That would be my first thing, and really allowing people to be able to sustain themselves and to live and not have people with millions, trillions, billions of dollars while other people are starving and dying every day.
So there is resistance. There is resistance to the New World Order. I mean, we got our sights on the enemy. We see who they are. The people behind the curtains are still behind the curtains, but we're pawing and we're scratching our way. We're on the right track. You know, and just because we're on the right track doesn't mean that we can just sit there. We still got to build momentum. We're still way behind the game here. I mean, they are way ahead of us with their plans. I mean, I still trying to wake people up on a one-on-one basis in my neighborhood, and I'll tell you what, people still think I'm nuts. But the more that I talk and the more that they see it unfold, I get people a year, 2 years down the road, they go, you know what, you were absolutely right. And then that gives credibility to some other things that I was talking about, and slowly but surely people are starting to get their heads out of the clouds. And we don't need all of them. Most people are just going to be sheep for the rest of their life. They're just going to go ahead of the herd, you know, whatever. They're always going to be like that. They're domesticated animals. But if we can get 5 to 10% of the population to start waking up to this madness, we could change things around. Right now, the best that we've been able to do is slow them down and put them behind schedule. That gives us more time to wake people up. But we got to get this information about the New World Order out. We got to let them know that they've got a plan for world government, world domination, and population reduction. They want to take control of everything on this planet and get rid of us. I mean, do you think you're going to survive this population reduction? Because, you know, they've been talking about it for a long time. You got the Georgia Guidestones. They talk about, what is it, however many million, hundreds of, 100,000 million, I don't know what the figures are, but this guy, James Lovelock, one of these talking heads, you know, one of these privileged, men of privilege, high society, highly respected, higher education guys on the BBC, talking about we need to reduce the population of the planet to 1 billion. Listen to this.
Even if the energy mix that you recommend can be pursued and can be developed, you say there's still a profound problem. And the profound problem is that there are too many people living on planet Earth. Would you say that you actually welcome the idea that over the next 100 years the world's population by one means or another will be cut dramatically?
I'm afraid so. I think like the word likely I would use.
Because we currently have a population, what, of about 6.5 billion people on the planet.
A bit more than that already. I think it's about 6.8.
Is it? Well, and I know the projections are that it's going to go up to 9 billion by the sort of halfway point in the 21st century. So what do you think is a viable figure that Gaia, that the planet, can sustain?
I would guess, living the way we do, not more than 1 billion, probably less. It's largely a matter of...
You say that with equanimity, but that's postulating the most dramatic and terrible and unimaginable sort of cull of the human species.
Well, I'm stick by it. I think it will happen. I think it's very probable.
What time frame?
It'll take almost a miracle to stop it happening. This century.
This century?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get my head around that possibility. It seems to me if that's to be the case, such is going to be the level of misery and panic across the world that there are bound to be the most cataclysmic conflicts, wars, struggles, simply for survival.
You know, it's just sickening. It is totally sickening. You know, and we hear these numbers over and over again to 9 billion it's going to be. And, you know, there was this document that was released. Well, it was leaked, actually. It wasn't released. Called Internment and Resettlement Operations. Very disturbing document, 300 and some odd pages. It wasn't supposed to get out. Come out from the Department of Defense. I mean, you could find it out there on the internet. I've looked through some of it, and they're talking, and in here they talk about, this is what it says, in light of persistent armed conflict and social turmoil throughout the world, the effects on populations remain a compelling issue. The world's population will increase from 6 billion to 9 billion in the next two decades, with 95% of the growth occurring in developing world. By 2030, 60% of the world's population will live in urban areas. Coexisting demographically and ethnically diverse societies will aggressively compete for limited resources. And this document is talking about internment camps and re-education. This is what their plan is, okay? When the economy tanks, when there's no food, they're going to take people and just throw them in internment camps. All right, where do you think this population reduction is going to go? I mean, they're not coming right out and saying they're going to kill people, you know, because that would be that totally would be illegal and against the Geneva Conventions. But they talk about in here about suspending the Geneva Conventions. They're talking about taking drastic measures. What do you think is going to happen in them internment camps? Mass genocide. That's what's going to happen. And they denied that there was FEMA camps in the United States, and they bought millions of coffins. They're just waiting. They're sitting there waiting for all this to unfold. They're tanking the euro right now. They're tanking the dollar right now. They just degraded some European banks. Inflation has caused food prices to rise almost to the point where you can't even afford to eat. Like, I'm diabetic, and I'm supposed to have a certain kind of diet, and the foods that I need to eat are so expensive, it's almost impossible to eat properly. You know, and this is what they want. And they're the ones that are creating all these diseases and these cancers. This is the slow kill. This is the stuff that they put out right in the lab. And there's all kinds of evidence to do this, okay? And they're using this, this is what I think that is going on, okay? In Bilderberg and in this Earth Summit in Rio. Now, I covered heavily in Copenhagen. If they got through the stuff that they wanted in Copenhagen, it would have been world government put in right here on the spot. And some of it did get put in, and some of it we are under. Obama's already said that the Department of Defense and our military is taking direct orders from the UN. That's not right. We are merging with Canada. That's not right. We're losing our sense of our sovereignty, okay? Posse comitatus, where the military isn't supposed to be on the streets. We're seeing them all over the place. National Guard, Marines, on the streets in the United States. This is not supposed to happen in a free society. It's a violation of our Constitution. Our Constitution is supposed to be the law of the land. We're not supposed to be able to go to war unless Congress declares it. And the administration, if the executive branch of our government has says they don't need to do that. Okay, we have a runaway train going on right now. All right, and it's being run by the New World Order. It's being run by these technocrats, by these freaking globalists, these elite bankers, corporate oligarchs. I don't even know what to call them. These eugenicists. They think they're better than these blue buds. Generation after generation, they've been in control. And I think they're using this reverse psychology because the overall feel in Bilderberg was, oh, they're so disappointed because of all the protesters, and they're getting in the way of their plans. And then here in Rio, the news reports that I seen was, oh, they didn't really get nothing done. Oh, they can't agree on anything. The only thing that they could agree on was that they're going to have another one in the future. And they didn't release anything. Everything is in secret this time around. This just happened over the weekend. Today's Monday. This just happened over the weekend. And they didn't release anything to the alternative press. You had to be a part of the government to get anything. And now, when it's all over, the only news reports I've seen is, oh, they didn't really get anything done. So I think they're using reverse psychology. I think they are getting stuff done, and they're trying to play it off like they're not getting anything done, so that the protesters will go back to sleep. Because they know a lot of people are waking up. And a lot of people are getting angry about what they're doing. And they're seeing this momentum build in the Patriot movement around the world. And they know the people are waking up. You know? And they know that there's a battle outside raging. And it's going to soon shake their windows and rattle their walls. Just like Bob Dylan's song. Okay? The times, they are changing. And they can feel it. They can feel it coming. So I think they're using reverse psychology, trying to pretend like, we're not really getting nothing done. You guys are winning. When there ain't nothing winning at all, they're just getting a little more slicker now. They're getting a little more slicker. You know, because there's no way that there's so many leaks that we're getting all the information. I'm sorry, but it just isn't happening. And you got a guy, Lord Monckton, from Britain. Oh, what an upstanding guy. I mean, I've been following him for a few years now, and he just seems like a really good guy fighting the New World Order. You know, standing up in Parliament over there in England and stuff against tyranny. And winning some really good battles, I've seen him over the years. And he covers all these earth climates, these stuff. Another guy, Mark Morano, he's really big in exposing the fraud of global man-made global warming and all this stuff that they're trying to do with these carbon taxes and this climate change legislation. And if you really believe that man is causing all this climate change and we're killing polar bears and all this other stuff, you really need to do your homework. I mean, the UN is the only one that's making these claims. And people who work for the UN. And they came out with the IPCC came out with this huge list, supposed to be the consensus of scientists. You know, and I just had a discussion with somebody who was like, 99% of scientists agree. Well, you know what? That isn't true. You know, that is propaganda that's been put out through mainstream media. And if the only thing that you ever do is watch television, and that's the only place you ever get your information, then you're being misled. You know? And that is put in, like, movies very coyly. In a sitcom, it'll mention it. You'll hear something about global warming in a movie, on a talk show. You know, all different kinds of things. And it slowly integrates into our society, into our minds. That's how mind control works. But, you know, the scientists on that list, some of them were like, I'd never even agreed to that. And they've come out. And they've said, no, I don't agree with that at all. That is not what I agree. I disagree with that. And they've come out and they've said, you know, the climate always has been changing throughout history. And if you've got rid of all the CO2 or all the carbon or whatever that man makes, it still wouldn't change anything. You know, and these carbon taxes and stuff, oh my God, they're only going to, like, globalist interests, the money. Like Al Gore owns a company, all these globalists own these companies. Bill Gates, another globalist, Maurice Strong, all these philanthropists, you know what I'm saying? They're making money off this stuff. They provide the solution to the problem that they're creating. They create this fear, get a reaction, they provide the solution, which lines their pockets, gives them power, and lets them proceed with their interests. I mean, it's just incredible. It is incredible. Now, this is what Mark Morano had to say about what was going on at the Earth Summit in Rio this weekend.
Yeah, this is a shock. You know, I've been to every UN conference pretty much since the last Earth Summit in Johannesburg, South Africa, 2002. And you've always been able to go up and take a look at their draft text. They have a UN documentation center. They've always been willing to provide it. Well, as you know, Lord Monckton at Climate Depot broke this story in Durban last year about the climate criminal court and the rights of Mother Earth. And it, you know, you picked it up. It ended up on the Drudge Report. It got picked up all over the internet, on television, cable news. This became a huge embarrassment for the UN, which they then pulled those parts of the agreement at the last minute. Well, this year, they seem to be have learned from their mistake, and now they have everything behind restricted access. We can't even have access to the government delegation. We can't have access to the plenary session. We can't have access to these texts, either hard copy or available online. They have completely shut down what they previously have said. This is going to be the most transparent conference. They're going to make everything available. They apparently have a lot to hide, and here we are now at going through full day two of this conference, and we have no idea what they're doing behind the scenes, because for the first time ever, they've banned us, and they've banned the public, they banned all the other organizations here from having a right to know, unless you were part of an official government delegation.
You know, and it's true, they don't want the exposure. They know that things die in the light of exposure. And they know that we're going to shine a light on them because they are the plague of the planet. They are the cockroaches. They are the ones that need to be exterminated. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know, and then they go ahead and they rename everything. Oh, when people started wisening up to global warming, oh, well, we're going to change it to climate change. You know what I mean? When people started getting hip to the North American Union, we're going to change it to the Security and Prosperity Partnership. And now they've changed it again. Every time that we get hip to what they're doing, they're going to change the name to hide their actions again. GlobalResearch.ca. There's a good website that keeps up on all that North American Union and loss of sovereignty stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, there are some great websites out there. Dumbing Down of America. Charlotte Isherbert. She was the head of the Department of Education. Came out a whistleblower. Talking about how they purposely dumbed down academia. They purposely don't want you questioning your professor. What they say goes. They don't want no critical thinking. They want you locked and loaded into their mind control category. That's it. What they say goes. Don't you dare question authority. Don't you dare think for yourself. That is the biggest threat to the establishment. Thinking for yourself. I mean, and that's what I ask people to do. Think for yourself. Question your own reality. Here's Lord Monckton, and this here, let me warn you, is very disturbing of his report on what has been going on in the Earth Summit in Rio this weekend.
Didn't realize we were, in fact, not part of them, and so they were very frank that they wanted to fool the people by using the environment as an excuse. But they were no longer willing to use the word environment. They're no longer willing even to use the word green. It's now hated by the majority of the voters. And they're no longer talking about climate change either, because they have now realized that the public have seen right through this nonsense, and that if they were to go on using that language, then ultimately they would completely lose the argument, if indeed they haven't completely lost it already. So what is happening, of course, is that around the world there are these local authorities at local government level trying to put into effect what the UN wants, which is the instrument of effectively global government interfering at a local level. That's what ICLEI is all about. And anyone who believes in democracy ought to be concerned about this and worried that they are no longer willing to speak honestly, and that's why they won't use the word environment anymore. They won't use the word green. But they're being dishonest with us. What they really want is absolute totalitarian power. So the most important thing is that there's a feeling of absolute alarm here, a gloom on the part of the usual suspects. They've got children, as you know, they propagandized children they're exploiting, and they've got them to do posters showing the sun dressed up as a doctor talking to planet Earth and saying the disease that you've got is humans. In other words, little children are being taught by these left-wing extremists that humans are a poison on the planet and should be wiped out. It couldn't get more serious than that.
That is big breaking news. That's what they do, is they push this idea that humans
are a disease, but now they're brutalizing children with this to wreck their self-image. I've been told of Austin children in first grade or kindergarten crying when they come home because they're filthy devil humans. This is child abuse.
It is exactly that. It is illegal in Britain to do that to children, and it ought to be illegal in the United States too. So if any parents are listening to this or watching this and have heard their children being propagandized in this way, then they should complain to the police about child abuse, because that is, you're quite right, Alex, that's exactly what
it
is.
Oh, it's the worst time. They're telling children they're crud, they're murdering the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, when I get up here and I say it's child abuse to tell 5- and 6-year-olds humans are scum, I saw an ABC News of Australia. Look it up. They have a video game they make the kids play at school where little pigs and chickens and goats and cows have their heads chopped off and blood sprays. This is 7- and 8-year-olds. When the humans take up too much carbon, and then humans, though, can kill themselves. Now, suicide is exploding. Promiscuity is off the charts with the diseases and the abortions. People don't care about themselves anymore on average. They don't care what the government's doing. This is large segments who buy into the hype. A lot of people just buy into hype. They do whatever they're told. I have talked to mothers at homeschooling group meetings who took their children out, professionals, doctors, lawyers, because one mother starts telling it and the other dad starts telling it why they took them out of public school, because they'd have their 6- or 7-year-old, some cases 5-year-old, at Austin public schools. This is all over the country. And they tell them, you're killing the earth, you're hurting things. So when they drive by a housing development or something, the little girls cry and retch and say, I'm killing bunnies. Ladies and gentlemen, these people are the scum of the earth. They want control of all the resources. Lord Monckton, what do you do about this level of criminal filth that have turned the schools into re-education camps?
Now, the first thing to do is to do your best to try to get real hard evidence from inside your child's classroom of what is being said to your child. There are various ways you can do this. Get in touch with your local homeschooling group. There's 3 million children in the States now educated by homeschooling groups, so they're free of this propaganda. But they will tell you how to find out what is going on in your child's school, what is being said to your child, what kind of threats and bullying is going on in the name of saving the planet. As you know, Alex, the planet was triumphantly saved 2,000 years ago. It doesn't need to be saved again. But this propaganda that humans are a disease on the earth, this propaganda which is being spread by images drawn by propagandized children here at the Rio Conference. This is, and your phrase is absolutely correct, it is child abuse. But you need to get, if you're a parent, the hardest possible evidence of what is being said. And then you need to go to your local police or FBI and make a formal complaint, because it is a criminal offence to abuse children. And the abuse can be mental as well as physical. And this is mental abuse of children if they're reduced to tears by these appalling, foolish stories about how humans are killing the planet. And you need to go and report it, and go on reporting it until somebody in the public services does his job, investigates and arrests these teachers and sends just one or two of them to jail. That's all it will take. And the rest of them will run for cover and will not dare to try to peddle this sort of propaganda to 6- and 7-year-olds ever again. It is disgusting. Again, your word, Alex, and you're absolutely right. Children have a right to the innocence of their childhood. They should not be exploited by the hard Marxist left among the teaching profession. And the way to stop them is to find out very carefully exactly what is being said to your children. And then if what is being said is something that you think amounts to mental abuse of your children, do not take it lying down. You should certainly complain to the head teacher. And if you don't get satisfaction there, then complain.
And remember the teacher that said, if you criticize Obama, you'll be arrested. And we have the tape 2 years ago of Al Gore to a group of middle school students
at elementary saying, your parents are wrong. You go tell them to support the carbon taxes right now.
You know, and this is what really weighs on my heart heavily is the child abuse that they do. They prey on the kids. They prey on the kids. You see it in the children's programming. I mean, I can't even watch that stuff. It's just sickening. Sickening. You know, and then at the higher levels, you're talking about child abduction. You're talking about child sex rings. You're talking about senators that get killed from exposing this stuff. Senator Schaefer and her husband were brutally murdered because she came out and it was exposing the CPS child sex rings that they run around this country. Yes, Children Protective Service, the people in the government who are supposed to protect the children, don't. They run child sex rings. They disappear. They end up in slavery. They end up being sacrificed in satanic rituals. Yes, this stuff's very, very uncomfortable to talk about, but it is part of the New World Order. I told you we're dealing with Luciferians here. We're dealing with some very sick individuals, man. Power corrupts, absolutely, absolutely. These people are absolutely incredible. I can't even think straight. Can't even think of the saying. But these people are absolutely corrupt. That's all I know. And they're sick. They are sick individuals. I mean, I was listening to this, and I couldn't help it. That's what I'm saying. People who immerse themselves in this information, they've got to build up some kind of emotional wall somehow. I'll tell you what, I can't deal with it. I can't deal with it. And that kind of stuff there really, really ticks me off. And that's the part that makes me want to fight these evil bastards. I mean, I can't even deal with it. This is an article that came out a long time ago from the New American. The New World Religion. Presented to the world as a mystical revelation, the UN Earth Charter is actually a diabolical blueprint for global government. And Mikhail Gorbachev was quoted as saying, my hope is that this charter will be a kind of a Ten Commandments, a Sermon on the Mount that provides a guide for human behavior toward the environment in the next century and beyond. And it's got this picture of all these children standing around worshiping a big giant globe of the earth. And it says, teaching children nature worship. Children sing in front of a huge globe at the welcoming ceremony of the World Summit on Sustainable Development in Johannesburg. Following in the footsteps of the UN's 1992 Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro. And that's where it all started, and that's where they're back again. 10 years later, Earth Summit 2 was steeped in the New Age rhetoric and occult imagery. The Earth Charter, presented to the world as the new Ten Commandments, is the basis for the UN's neo-pagan, Earth-centered spirituality. I mean, this stuff is just sick, and this is what they're doing. I mean, we're no good anymore. Humans are no good anymore. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, this is just incredible. Incredible. Canadian billionaire socialist Maurice Strong, who presided over the 1992 Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro, is not tentative about the charter. The real goal of the Earth Charter, said Strong, is that it will, in fact, become like the Ten Commandments. I mean, and that's exactly what they want. They want total global government, global control. This stuff is just sick. You know, and they're slowly taking away our rights to water and the land. You know, a lot of the natural parks in the U.S. are owned by the U.N. I don't know if you know that or not, but they're stealing our natural resources. They're selling our water. Water is more expensive than gas. Oh, my God. Where do you think all this bottled water is coming from? The Great Lakes. They're slowly dissipating. People who live on there have noticed that the lakes are disappearing at a rapid rate. I mean, they'd just taken over everything. Did you know that you're not protected by the Constitution at the airports anymore? You know, Jesse Ventura, another patriotic American, I mean, he's not, you know, he did this show, Conspiracy Theory, which I have a problem naming something a theory, on True TV. He exposed a lot of good stuff. They're only going to allow him to go so far on that show. I don't even know if it got canceled or not yet. I watched it. Some of the stuff was pretty good. Pretty good. They're only going to allow him to expose things to a certain point. And I believe his heart is good. He used to be the former governor of Minnesota. He's the guy who did the wrestling. Jesse the Body Ventura. He's fired up about this. And he's a very patriotic man, a former Navy SEAL. He's fighting the TSA at the airports. This is what he found out.
It cost me $20,000 to go to court in front of a federal judge to be told she didn't have jurisdiction over a constitutional question. And that's what they do with anyone that challenges in our court system, the TSA and Homeland Security. They don't have jurisdiction. Well, people need to understand clearly, when you go to any airport in the United States today, you are not protected by the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. In other words, they can do anything they want to you out there, and there's nowhere you can seek redress because the courts will not hear it.
So this is a total takeover of our society, this new world order that people say don't exist. People say I'm crazy for talking about it. Oh, what are you, nuts, Harry? You and your conspiracy theories. Well, I'll tell you what, it's not a theory if you can prove it. And I certainly can prove it. If you've got about 5 years of your life, I can sit down and prove it all to you. Because I've been spent years and years and years researching this stuff. And it's disgusting. I set out to prove that 9/11, some guy was saying 9/11 was an inside job, and I went out to prove him wrong, and I ended up down a rabbit hole that was so deep, I never imagined how deep it would be, and how vast and dark, and how sinister and evil the things down there would be. Oh, I took the red pill, all right. But that's just my character. That's just my character. I can't turn away from evil. I have to expose it. You know, and talking about exposing evil, there's this guy, a professor, Noel Sharkey, in Sheffield, England. And he warned everybody years ago, and he said, you better watch out, and I'm telling you right now, and he was all fired up. He said, the biggest problem today is going to be robotics. Robotics is the future of the New World Order. Mark my words, you need to expose robotics and stop this push for robotics. And it looks like he's gonna end up being right. And he sounded like a nutbag. He really did. I'm like, whoa, this guy really is off the deep end, man. He's really fired up. But you know what? He's seen what the future was going to hold. He studied what the elite were going to do in this area. He was a professor in that arena. He had inside information. He was trying to warn people. And that's exactly where we're heading. We're heading into a new age of humanity. And that's what you do. You go right by the globalist books. Their papers. They love to brag. They got huge egos. And they play on our fear. And they say, oh, and they create these crises. And they say, they need us. You need us to save. You need us to save you. Because you're stupid and you can't take care of yourself. This is how they feel. Humans are stupid, you can't take care of yourself, you can't help it. You poor little animals, you need us to save you. You know? And this is what they want to give us, a new mankind. They're going to use nanotechnology, genetics, robotics, They're going to condition us through the movies and media and stuff to accept this. And they want to transfer personalities to an artificial carrier. And they're like 20 or 30 years ahead of us. So if they're saying that they're going to do this by 2045, that means they're already going to do it. And they got this thing called Russia 2045. And like I told you, they like to brag about what they're going to do. They'd like to lay it all out in front of you. They got this advertisement because they want people, millionaires, to invest in all this stuff. They want to set all this up. They know that the little poor humans that are just trying to survive, that can't even afford their diabetic diets and stuff, they're not going to be able to invest in this technology. So they're not really talking to us. They're not talking about life-extending technology to save us. No, they're making us sick through the chemtrails and all this other stuff. God knows what they're taking, what kind of drugs they got that's warding off. They got some super antibiotics, which is making them immune to the crap that they're spraying in the air and the crap that they're putting in the food and water that's making us all sick. Who knows what they're doing in their labs? But this is what they're talking, and they're going to use genetics, robotics. I mean, this Neil Sharkey was right. Listen to this.
The world is on the verge of global change. The speed of data transmission has increased by multiples of millions. The rate of globally significant events and that of discoveries and crises is growing exponentially. Our civilization is like an uncaptained ship sailing on rough seas with neither chart nor compass, all the while moving faster and faster. The time we have to make the right decisions is shorter and shorter. We are facing the choice to fall into a new dark age, into affliction and degradation, or to find a new model for human development and create not simply a new civilization, but a new mankind. Historic crises show that to break the deadlock, we need technological revolution. It is clear that today's revolution will also require the deepest social transformation. The world's community and leaders should encourage mankind instead of wasting resources on solving momentary problems. To focus on the technologies of the future, nanotechnology, biotechnology, information technology, cognitive technology, genetics, and robotics. Doing so will allow us to find new sources of energy, create fundamentally new architecture and transportation, allow unprecedented developments of human cognitive abilities, refine artificial intelligences and brain-computer interfaces, simulate complex systems, create humanoid robots and cyborgs, and with the help of nanorobots, we may develop manageable matter. Find ways to transfer one's personality to an artificial carrier. Yet what we need is not just another technological revolution, but a new civilizational paradigm. We need new philosophy and ideology, new ethics, new culture and new psychology, and even new metaphysics. We must reset our limits, go beyond ourselves, beyond the Earth, and beyond the solar system. This is an adequate response to the challenges of our time. Thus, new reality and future man will arise. Could it happen spontaneously? By itself? Unlikely. Humanity does not have a master plan of its development. It seeks stability. It lives in the present and does not plan. It preserves the status quo and tries to escape development. It does not tend to map future centuries and take responsibility for evolution. In consumer society's culture, there is no evolutionary vocabulary and rhetoric. To break the deadlock, the Russia 2045 movement was founded. It is a mega project intended to reach new heights and meanings. We intend to create a new vector for civilization, aimed at constant human development and evolution. As happened with the mega projects of the last century, the nuclear and the space programs, we integrate the latest discoveries and developments from the sciences. Physics, energetics, aeronautics, bioengineering, nanotechnology, neurology, cybernetics, cognitive science. May everlasting spiritual ideals and values help us avoid going astray. Our project will give new meanings to the millions of people on Earth, will become a result of their joint creativity, and will lead us out of the impasse. away from the murder of nature and physical death, forward to the realm of freedom and creativity, to the depths of the ocean and to the stars, to the infinite universe of our inner world. Our forecast for the next 40 years. February 2012. Global Future 2045 Congress is held in Moscow. It is a debate platform for discussion of our civilization's prospects for development. 2012 to 2013. The global economic and social crises are exacerbated. The debates on the global paradigm of future development intensifies. New transhumanist movements and parties emerge. Russia 2045 transforms into World 2045. Simultaneously, the 2045.com international social network for open innovation is expanding. Here, anyone interested may propose a project, take part in working on it, or fund it, or both. In the network, there are scientists, scholars, researchers, financiers, and managers. 2013 to 2014. New centers working on cybernetic technologies for the development of radical life extension rise. The race for immortality starts. 2015 to 2020. The Avatar is created. A robotic human copy controlled by thought via brain-computer interface. It becomes as popular as a car. In Russia and in the world appear, in testing mode, several breakthrough projects. Android robots to replace people in manufacturing tasks. Android robot servants for every home. Thought-controlled avatars to provide telepresence in any place of the world and abolish the need for business trips. Flying cars. Thought-driven mobile communications built into the body or sprayed onto the skin. 2020 to 2025, an autonomous system providing life support for the brain and allowing it interaction with the environment is created. The brain is transplanted into an Avatar B. With Avatar B, man receives new, expanded life. 2025, the new generation of avatars provides complete transmission of sensations from all five sensory robot organs to the operator. 2030 to 2035, ReBrain. The colossal project of brain reverse engineering is implemented. World science comes very close to understanding the principles of consciousness. 2035, the first successful attempt to transfer one's personality to an alternative carrier. The epoch of cybernetic immortality begins. 2040 to 2050. Bodies made of nanorobots that can take any shape arise alongside hologram bodies. 2045 to 2050. Drastic changes in social structure and in scientific and technological development. All the prerequisites for space expansion are established. For the man of the future, war and violence are unacceptable. The main priority of his development is spiritual self-improvement. A new era dawns. The era of neo-humanity.
And they said, this is going to turn into World 2045. That's world government population reduction. The life extension is not for is for the elite. It's not for us. It's not for us. Did you hear that? Android robots to replace people. And remember, along the way, they're going to create more crisis to convince us that we're horrible creatures that need to be eradicated from the planet. And this is it. This is the era of neo-humanity. It's their vision. It's not ours. We're not even going to be here to see it. It's the blue bloods. They'll be the only ones. And that is if they don't destroy themselves in the process, because their egos are so big, I wouldn't be surprised if they just destroy themselves right in the process. Oh my God. You know, and they're always in the labs messing with this and messing with that. I mean, they're sick. They're sick. I mean, listen to this here. I found from Australia, this flesh-eating bacteria.
Prevalent in low-lying coastal areas, reported cases of the flesh-eating disease spiked last year. So far this year, there's been 20. Its exact cause has so far eluded researchers, but while it's known the bug responsible lives in the soil, it's now been found to thrive after heavy rainfall.
The bacteria is either brought to the surface, that's one possibility, or perhaps it thrives in moist or swampy conditions.
The latest research undertaken at Barwon Health's Infectious Diseases Unit, revealing it may also be spread through the air.
Someone could inhale the organism, could enter the lung, go through the bloodstream, and then appear on a cooler part of the body.
With so many theories as to how the flesh-eating bacteria is transmitted, it's understandable there's plenty of confusion in the community. But this latest research is working to disprove many of those ideas, including the long-held belief that it's transmitted by mosquitoes.
I mean, this is horrible. Oh my God. It's incredible. I mean, who knows where this stuff comes from? I'm telling you, it comes from their labs. It's all like, they unleash this stuff on the public. We're like guinea pigs to them. The whole world is becoming like a science laboratory. Oh my God. I mean, you can get updated information about the New World activities over at 12160.info. If you got any questions or any comments to me, find my profile over there, Harry Thomas. Give me a message. Shout out to me. I do regular updates of news at twitter.com/Harry Thomas. And you can find the podcast at podomatic.com. Harry Thomas Show. Just do a search for Harry Thomas Show on Google. I don't know. Get this word out about the show. Get this information out. Do whatever you want with it. I'm going to get into this Ron Paul stuff. Oh, my God. Just talking about all that other stuff. I mean, you know, man, I've been a huge supporter of Ron Paul for like the last 10 years. You know, I've been reading his Texas Straight Talk articles. When I started doing this show in 2005, I covered his Texas Straight Talk on the show. I mean, I've campaigned for him. I've contributed money to his campaign. And then I hear this year that there's no more campaigning. And I'm thinking, okay, it's a delegate race. He doesn't want to waste any of our money on commercials and all that other crap. Because, you know, at this point, we're just going to collect delegates and try to get a voice on a national platform. Seems reasonable. I mean, I knew that we got taken for a ride in Iowa, and I knew that Ron Paul should have won other states, and I know that the election process is corrupt. And I kind of expect that stuff when you're in the game at the national arena. Then, I find out that Rand Paul, his son, the senator from Kentucky, endorses Romney. And I'm thinking, what a freaking traitor. And Ron Paul officially ends his campaign. No way, man. Ron Paul's supposed to stay in it to the end. Listen to this.
And back to Hannity, enduring the spirited Republican primary this election season, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul was out on the trail campaigning for his father, Texas Congressman Ron Paul, but tonight he is here to make a major announcement about 2012 and the presidential race, and we welcome back to the program Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. Sir, how are you?
Hey, good to see you, Sean.
All right. First of all, before you say what I think you're going to say, did you check in with your congressman father? Presidential candidate, well, I guess officially finally dropped out of the race.
Well, you know, my first choice had always been my father. I campaigned for him when I was 11 years old. He's still my first pick. But, you know, now that the nominating process is over, tonight I'm happy to announce that I'm going to be supporting Governor Romney.
Yeah. How do you, look, if you didn't support your father, by the way, I mean, I would really question family loyalty there. And I think it was totally understandable. And I know, you know what, you love and you respect your dad, and I agree with your dad on many issues. I have no idea why he's still mad at me, and he would reject coming on this program, but that's a whole different story for another day. Tell me why you're supporting Governor Romney.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting that Governor Romney and I actually have quite a few similarities. You know, Governor Romney's dad ran for president, was unsuccessful. Governor Romney then went on to support the nominee the same way his dad did. Governor Romney comes from a big family. I don't know them that well, but I think it's a big, loving family. So do I. I come from a family with five kids. Governor Romney has five kids. He's had a long and happy marriage. So have my parents. I think we have a lot of the same family values and trust and feeling of the importance of the family unit. And so that, I think, draws a kinship between our families. But I met with him recently. I had about a 30-minute meeting with him. He was nice enough to meet with me when he was in Washington recently. And we talked about a lot of issues. It was a free-ranging discussion. And we talked about issues, frankly, that are important to me, that are important to my dad and to many of his followers. And many of these, you know, Governor Romney's already taken a position on. One of the big issues for our supporters, for myself and my dad, is auditing the Fed. We think there needs to be more transparency to the Fed and more oversight by Congress. And this is something that Governor Romney was supportive of throughout his campaign and also was supportive of in private to me. We talked about other issues that are important to my dad's followers. My dad has a legion of young followers who are on the Internet, and they think they rule the Internet. Maybe they do, maybe they don't, but they're very concerned about the freedom of the Internet. There's been legislation recently, SOPA, that Governor Romney came out in the debates and was opposed to this SOPA, which would take away some of the process of ownership on the Internet, and we were very afraid that it would limit Internet freedom, and Governor Romney's right there with us on those issues also. So I think there's a lot of kinship on those issues. Another big issue for me is the RAINS Act. I'm the chief sponsor in the Senate on a bill that would say that any major regulation, and I think we've got so much over-regulation now, but any major rule or regulation that would cost the economy over $100 million should have to come back and be voted on in Congress. Yeah. And Governor Romney's right there with me on that issue. So I think we have a lot in common, a lot of things that we will be able to fight together on.
I mean, what? Family values? Oh, he's going to stand with us with the Federal Reserve. You want to listen to what Romney has said about the Federal Reserve.
But look, I'm not going to spend my time going after Ben Bernanke. I'm not going to take my effort and focus on the Federal Reserve.
Should the chairman of the Federal Reserve be appointed again?
I think he's doing a good job.
You do?
Yes, I do. And I think it's important to have the Fed as an independent agency. I do not think you want to have the Congress of the United States trying to pull strings at the Fed.
Yeah, Romney ain't going to stand with no Federal Reserve. You know what? This is all a bunch of poppycock nonsense, okay? You know, there's been rumors going around for years about Ron Paul being a Freemason, and you know what? Sounds like a Freemason to me. This sounds like some Glenn Beck crap. You know what I'm saying? Where you build your freaking base, right? And you get your followers, and then you lead all the sheep off to the slaughter right when at a crucial time, man. And we're at the end part of the New World Order, man. It's do or die right now. And Ron Paul and his son sells us out down the damn river? You've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. You know, and you want to talk about flip-flopping, listen to all this flip-flopping that's been done by Romney.
I'm running for office for Pete's sake.
Who is this guy? Can you trust him?
I have never supported the President's Recovery Act, all right, the stimulus. No time, nowhere, no how.
I think there is need for economic stimulus.
You're only allowed a certain number of flips before people begin to doubt your character.
The big issue with Mitt Romney has been the issue of abortion. Has he flip-flopped on abortion?
I will preserve and protect a woman's right to choose.
The right next step in the fight to preserve the sanctity of life is to see Roe v. Wade overturned.
He was pro-choice, then he's pro-life.
Or he flip-flops again, just like he did on abortion, just like he did on Ronald Reagan.
Look, I was an independent during the time of Reagan Bush. I'm not trying to return to Reagan Bush.
The principles that Ronald Reagan espoused are as true today as they were when he spoke them.
There you go again.
In 1985, I helped found a company. I learned how America competes with companies in other countries. In other countries.
The money he has that he didn't inherit is what he made as a private equity mogul, shutting down companies, liquidating their assets, and firing their American workers.
I think you'll find that I've been as consistent as human beings can be.
If you're looking for someone who's never changed any positions on any policies, then I'm not your guy.
I think Americans just don't know sometimes
which Mitt Romney they're dealing with.
The new cover of Time magazine today asks the question, why don't they like me?
Mitt Romney spends little to no time doing interviews on the TV, whereas the other candidates are working the Sunday news show circuit like a politician running for president.
Romney often bypassing reporters on the rope line.
Remember earlier this year how Romney got $1 million donation from an organization that just suddenly ceased to exist the next day?
It's really someone wanting to give Romney the money while staying in the shadows.
Mitt Romney stealing all of Barack Obama's big dollar Wall Street donors.
A good chunk of his funds came from his buddies on Wall Street, like Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and Bank of America.
To get that kind of money, you've got to cozy up as an incumbent to all of the special interest groups who can go out and raise money for you from their members. That kind of relationship has an influence on the way you're going to vote. That kind of relationship has an influence on the way you're going to vote. That kind of relationship has an influence on the way you're going to vote.
Oh, my God. You got to be kidding me. This guy isn't stable. Romney just attended Bilderberg. He's a globalist. He's a minion for the New World Order. And then Ron Paul comes out with some just half-assed message. Listen to this.
A couple years, matter of fact. But results, I think, have been fantastic. I do know that there are individuals who think the campaign was less than perfect, and others think that the campaign achieved such success far beyond anybody's expectation. So for that reason, I think it's sort of part of human nature, because a lot of people look at a glass. The old saying is, you look at a glass of water, and is it half full and it's going to get full, or is it half empty and it's all negative? I like to think in a very positive way and not in a negative way. So this is where we are today, and this is where we are today, and this is where we are today, and.
What do you mean half glass, half full, negative? It is negative. You and your son sold out to the New World Order. And I'll tell you what I did. The first thing, when I heard Rand Paul on Hannity endorse Romney, I went and I took my poster off the wall. I took my refrigerator magnets off the refrigerator. I'm not the sign. There's going to be no more Ron Paul signs in my window. No more wearing Ron Paul's hat or Ron Paul Revolution t-shirts. You guys are done, okay? You are nothing but freaking Washington scum, as far as I'm concerned. Traitors to the Republic. I'm telling you, man, this New World Order needs to be defeated. And we can't be sold out by some freaking Glenn Beck CIA crap. And that's exactly what this smells like. I smell shill. And I'm going to call it the way I'll tell you what. I agree with the way Alex Jones said. Check this out.
Ron Paul, 4 years ago, he said, hey, I'm not going to support McCain. I can't. He's basically the same as Obama. Everybody's like, wow, he really understands it. 4 years later, hey, we're doing what we got to do. We may not even have a counter conference. The Republicans might get mad. We're bringing in all these mainline Republican strategists. Hey, we don't like that. Well, we don't need you anymore, people that brought us to this, you libertarian constitutionalists. We're merging with the Republican Party. That's basically the message. We want the Republican Party to like us. That's what they've all said. Okay, I don't hate you. I don't dislike you. I understand your thought process. It's incredibly flawed. I mean, I liked the Ron Paul of 4 years ago, not this new one. And please don't say, oh, there's an, you know, Ron Paul didn't do this. Yeah, he did. He coordinated this with Rand Paul. Last week, the announcement that, okay, our campaign is over. We're not going to have the delegates we needed, as if that wasn't the case for months, right as Rand comes out with his announcements. It's deals being made behind the scenes. And we're not being told about those deals. Ray and Cal, because we're the stupid, unwashed Ron Paul supporters.
You know what I'm saying? And I'll tell you what, I don't even know about Alex Jones half the time. I just think his personality gets in the way. I can't stand when he cuts off people while they're talking. But maybe it's just because he's immersed himself in so much information, he just can't stand himself. He's got all this information flowing through his head. I don't know. Maybe he is a plant. You don't know who you can trust anymore. But all I know is these animals at the top echelon, these blue bloods, these 13 satanic bloodlines of this New World Order, this Illuminati needs to be stopped. And this information needs to be out there. Because they're killing people. They're preying on children. They're preying on us. They're making us all sick. They want us gone. They want to replace humans with android robots. Come on now, wake up, people. And then, wake up your neighbors, your co-workers. Don't be afraid to talk about what's going on with the New World Order. Quit talking about football and American Idol at the water cooler at work. Start talking about real issues, things that are going to help humanity. So, you know, oh my God, we have to wake up. We have to wake up for our children, our grandchildren, and those who aren't even born yet. Let's leave this world with a little dignity and leave them a world that they at least have a little bit of a fighting chance. My name's Harry Thomas. This is the Harry Thomas Show. We will be back again to fight the New World Order. Thank you for listening.
Brain, I'm trying to leave and be on it, yeah.